Hi, John. Hi, John.
Hello, Jerry.
It's like an echo coming from here, isn't it?
That's the story of our lives.
Welcome to BBC Radio Ulster in Northern Ireland. Have you made it this far ever in your travels?
We have. We were in Belfast 2 years ago for the first and only time. It was a lovely visit, very short, but enjoyable.
Very good. You're obviously out talking about the new album Glean at the moment, which you have out.
Yes, sir.
And that contains many of those early Dial a Song tunes. Can you tell me something, lads? How did the whole Dial a Song tune idea come about?
Well, it's actually sort of a two-part test for us. In the 80s, we started this Dial a Song service with a phone machine in the kitchen of my Brooklyn apartment. And that was really, for a lot of people, the introduction to the band across the United States. We would sort of advertise it in the back of the Village Voice. And then at the beginning of this year, we reinstated the Dial-A-Song challenge to ourselves, brought back a phone line, and also created a website and a whole sort of subscription thing that you could be part of, where we would post a brand new song every week. And these songs aren't writing themselves,
no,
Jerry.
I'm sure they're not. Going back to the mid 80s, though, when you first came up with this idea, was it an idea out of desperation, or was it a way of just getting your music out there?
Well, I mean, we were too excited about the idea to feel like it was desperate, but I think it was. What's interesting for us is that in the fullness of time, what we knew was being perceived by the music business people that we met, they saw it as slightly desperate. We thought it was like an interesting creative project and a challenge. You know, we were very sort of DIY, but at that time, it just seemed kind of pitiful and maybe a little desperate.
But how did you make money out of it?
Oh, we didn't.
Oh, right.
We didn't make a dime. Yes. I think back then in the sort of the Rod Stewart, Madonna moment, I think that there was a lot about positioning bands and sort of controlling their image and controlling what people heard and what they thought about those bands. And our attitude has always been much more freewheeling and infinitely less calculated. So it worked for us fine, but it just didn't really fit in.
So the idea was that you would play your music, people would dial up, listen to you.
Yeah.
And that was the key to the door that opened up the rest of your success. Is that the way of it?
Well, to a certain extent. I mean, I think it framed us. It sort of helped us become a little bit notorious in a time when it was hard to even be heard. There's an expression that musicians use sometimes, which is, who do you have to sleep with to have sex around here? And I think that in that time, there were so many gatekeepers and stuff. I feel like it was just a good way for us to kind of leap over a lot of barriers.
I think the truth was that we were, I think, to some extent, thinking it was an end in itself, that it wasn't, the point of it wasn't that it was going to lead to some fantastic...
Exactly.
Yeah. But and looking back on it, it was a hugely innovative idea. It was an idea well before its time in many ways.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it was, I suppose it was the internet before the internet.
Yes.
So in that sense, we not that we were anticipating that anything like it would ever, you know, become the norm, but the idea of staying home and listening to music that way appealed to us, and we thought other people would like it.
Have you any idea how many songs you actually wrote for Dial?
I think it was a billion. We reached the 1 billion mark.
It just feels that way, doesn't it?
Yeah. Or a half gazillion.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, not to pull it into like 2015 kind of internet speak, but it gave us a glimpse into the concept of the gift economy, long before there was the term the gift economy. And I feel like that actually helped us in many other ways kind of get through our kooky careers.
Kooky careers. Do you regard yourselves as kooky? The name of the band is kooky, isn't it?
Yeah, no, we take ourselves... You wouldn't believe how seriously we take ourselves, and it would be embarrassing if people knew how serious we thought this project was.
We would have to use swear words on the radio to describe how pretentious we truly are.
Yeah.
Well, tell me about the album Glean. What have you included on this?
Well, it's sort of the beginning of this year, this like marathon year of songs.
It's all new material.
Glean is
a new album.
It's basically our greatest hits from January to April.
That's right.
You turn your talents to many projects. You write songs for children. Is that a very different approach to songwriting?
It's closer than you'd think. We leave out references to death and
genocide,
drug abuse, and, yeah, whatever. But I think other than that, the spirit is very similar. I think our basic philosophy is that kids deserve to be entertained just as much as adults do. And so in general, we don't want to do remedial music for kids, try to improve them or anything like that.
Yeah, yeah. 2 Grammy Awards.
Yep.
Any more theme tunes for sitcoms on television? Because the one you did for Malcolm in the Middle was just superb.
Well, we would welcome it. It would be interesting work. I mean, in some ways, by doing a couple of themes that are sort of famous, maybe we get crossed off people's lists. But we do lots, all styles, people.
And yeah, we'll do your theme.
Yeah, and any TV producers out there want to do something, we're ready to get that call.
Okay, well, I'll give you a ring straight after this.
Please.
And you can do one for this show. That's so exciting. John Flansburgh, John Linnell, thank you so much indeed for chatting to us.
Nice, hey, thank you.
Thanks, guys.